You are listening to The Sages Among Us on KVMR, and I am Keith Porter, and my guest today is Keone Allen. He's a guy who's well-known in our community. He's a licensed building contractor. He loves to work on old buildings, and he's the owner of Sierra Foothills Construction, and he's someone who refused to be slowed down by major cancer surgery a few years ago. So, Keone, welcome to the hot seat on The Sages Among Us.
Thank you, Keith.
Let me share a little bit about your background with our audience before we talk about you and your role in the community. You're born in Hawaii, and I'm going to guess that's probably why you have the name Keone, right?
Absolutely right.
Even though your parents were not Hawaiian native, right? They were there. Your father was doing Boy Scout?
My father went there to organize the Boy Scouts of America after World War II, yes.
Okay, so you were there, then you were in Utah for a number of years where you went to school, and you started in real estate in Utah. And then at one point, you put your finger on the map and said, this is where I want to go, and pointed to Nevada County. And through a circuitous series of events, you ended up here, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much how it worked. I had never been to Nevada County, but knew I wanted to come to California to seek my fortune. And it was just appealing the whole history of the gold country. And I literally looked at a map and kind of put my finger down what's now Nevada County. I had no idea then, and said, that's where I want to live. And that's what happened.
Well, now, if I understand your history correct, you made that decision jointly with your wife, Peg. Is that right?
She was actually born and raised in the Bay Area, moved to southern Utah where we met. So she was, before we married, she was kind of intent on moving back home. So it was kind of a joint agreement. She was going to go back and go to school, and I was going to make my way there, and then we were going to get back together.
Okay, well, and as a special consideration this evening, we actually have a special guest in the room with us, and that is her, Peg. So welcome to the Sages Among Us as part of our audience. So we're gonna keep Keone really honest here tonight. So as I recall, you said you learned to swim in the Pacific on the shores at Oahu before you learned to walk. That sounds like some kind of an upbringing.
Yeah, obviously, it was. I was not old enough to remember any of this, but that's what they tell me. You know, we just lived in a tiny little cottage, but the backyard was the ocean, and so somehow, apparently, one day, I figured out how to crawl down to the water and started swimming, and I, to this day, have a very strong connection to the water in general and the ocean in particular.
So how old were you when you had to leave that in that heavenly environment?
I was pretty young, I think, two or less.
Okay. So any other interesting early childhood experiences? You had sisters and a brother, right?
Yep, I had sisters and a brother, and a pretty normal childhood other than that we moved a lot. But they were still close to this day.
So, where are you in the hierarchy in terms of age? Are you youngest?
I am child number three.
Number three. So yep. There's a one younger than you, huh?
My little sister. Yep.
All right. So, but now the real question. This is the real journalism here coming out at you. Were you the good child or the one that caused a little trouble in the family?
Well, it depends on how you want to define good child. But I would say that my siblings were definitely the good children. So that probably makes me try to equalize the.
Somebody has to throw a little monkey wrench and things every now and then. Right?
And I was kind of intent on trying everything I could think of, so I did.
Oh, there you go. Okay. So what would you say you learned or inherited from your parents? And did they have values that you kind of brought forward in your own life, would you say? Or?
Very much so. I like to think that what I inherited from my mother is kindness and the ability to be kind and understanding. And from my dad, I got a very strong sense that you can do anything you want. All you got to do is put your mind to it. And that's served me well all my life.
At one point, I think you said to me that your father was a roamer, and you moved a lot. You just talked about that. You've attended five schools in Arizona, California, and Utah before you graduated from high school in Hurricane, Utah, with 65 in your class. So what would you say how did that influence your life? What impact did that have on how things went for you?
Well, number one, it made me pretty good at making friends.
Yeah.
Changing schools every few years. But it also gave me a real sense of yearning for stability, which probably explains that why I've been in Nevada County since 1980, way more than half my life.
So you talked about hurricanes near Zion National Park. and you called it one of the most beautiful places in the country. But, you know, what did you do there? What kind of high school activity? Did you do sports? Did you do music? What did you do as a high school kid?
So in a school of that size, really with 66 of us, half boys, so by the end of the football season, it was almost impossible to field an entire football team. So everybody played every sport. I was not bad at football and particularly basketball because I'm tall, ran track. It was just a pretty sweet small town upbringing.
So you got your license, however, and started selling homes at age 18, I think. So that was like in high school or just after high school?
Just after high school. I think I was actually 19 when I got a real estate license. And then when I realized I wanted to move to California, I got a California real estate license at age 20. But I sold the first house, and I just realized it was not all that rewarding as I had thought it was going to be. And that's when I decided I wanted to really pursue construction.
Okay, so that's you were disillusioned at an early age with the idea of becoming a real estate tycoon, huh?
I thought that sounded like like something fun, and it is. I have friends that are in the business, but it just wasn't near as rewarding for me as being able to renovate old historic buildings. That's just really, really fun because you get to drive by them and say, holy smokes.
Yeah, look at it now, and yep. Look how functional it is compared to what it was. We're sitting here in a very old building in these KVMR studios, very nicely refurbished. In yep. the space right behind the Nevada Theater. So
yep.
what a wonderful thing for a community to have, the ability to keep the old things and, yep. and make the new things even better.
Exactly.
So you met Peg in 1974. You said you're going to celebrate 50 years of being together this fall. So congratulations, by the way, to the two of you. Now, the question, I'm going to watch Peg's face as I ask this. How did Peg change your perspective or your goals in life?
Maybe I should watch your face, too.
No, you got to stick with the microphone, buddy.
So, you know, I would say that that has certainly been the best decision in my life. Not only is she amazingly a special person, but one of the things I tried to help my kids understand is that that might be the single most important decision you ever make is who to hook up with and spend the rest of your life with. And Peg has just been amazing wife and mother and grandmother, and life is good.
So together, one way or another, you picked Nevada County without actually having been here, at least not at any length of time, right? So tell me a little bit about how that came about, and how did you get here? You didn't come here directly from Utah. You had some other intermediary steps, right?
No, I actually went to Las Vegas to save enough money. Working, can't make any money in Utah at that time, so went to Las Vegas for about a year, saved enough money to move, and ended up in Sonoma County. And just thought we were in heaven, as you know, parts of Sonoma County are. And the company I was working for got a project to build the what's now the Berry Hill Apartments there on West Main Street. So they sent me to Grass Valley to build the Berry Hill Apartments. And literally driving up 49 on that day, I realized this really was heaven. As much as we thought that Sonoma County was, this was really it. It's just, as you know, everybody knows, it's just a very, very special place.
So did Peg have any disagreement about ultimately coming here, or was she all in favor of it?
Well, if you're asking me, I'm going to say absolutely not. And she's been really happy here, and we've had a great life, so I'm pretty sure she would say agree with me.
Okay, yeah, I see her nodding, so okay, it works. I'm Keith Porter. My guest today is Keone Allen. He's a guy who's well known in our community. He is a licensed contractor, loves to work on old buildings and to build new buildings. He's the owner of Sierra Foothills Construction, and he's someone who refused to be slowed down by major cancer surgery a few years ago, which we'll talk a bit about that as we go on here. So, Keone, we've now traced your early life into your mid-20s, late 20s maybe, and got you located in Nevada County and deep into the construction business. So tell us a bit about the buildings and projects that you cut your teeth on in Nevada County. You obviously started with the Berry Hill Apartments, but, you know, what other buildings have you touched that we might all be aware of?
Oh, my gosh. One of the very first things that I did was renovate that portion of Main Street, where it's now Serino's, and the buildings on either side of that. And that was so much fun and so rewarding. I built several other renovations. renovated several other buildings on Mill Street and just really, really enjoyed that and developed a little bit of a talent, I suppose, for that and maybe even a little bit of a reputation. So had an opportunity in the late 80s to renovate the old Grass Valley Post Office for a law firm, which is still still today. And then most recently, I had an opportunity to do a complete renovation of the Holbrook Hotel, which was, until our current project, was maybe one of the most rewarding things I've ever done. It's just so much fun to be able to work on a building that's 160 years old, where you know that the guys that that built it didn't have any power tools. You know, they were probably crafting the pieces of lumber that they were using to build in the building. It's just really, really fun and rewarding.
Do you ever find remnants in the building or people places where people have written on the walls messages that you've uncovered that go back into time capsules?
And newspapers and all kinds of stuff. And I haven't personally found any little bags of gold, but I have a friend who did.
Really?
Up underneath a house here in Nevada City, a little bag full of gold coins. So, yeah, that's part of the, I think, part of the fun.
I should say so. So if I handed you two projects, one's a remodel project of an old building, rework on an old building, and one's a brand new project, which would you prefer? Which would you take first?
Oh, the renovation by far. You know, I've said for years that anybody can go out in the middle of a piece of dirt and build a new building, but it really takes some imagination and I believe a little bit more talent to make the most out of an older building.
Oh. So you got your contractor's license yourself. You were working for others for a while, but then in 1982, I think. Did that make a difference in the way you worked? Did that kind of give you a sense of independence? Or
in short, it makes you legal. You know, you're
okay.
So that's always the big one and the good reason to do that.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about founding Sierra Foothills Construction in 1986. Did you have any doubts or reservations about kind of launching out on your own?
Yeah. That's it's always challenging to do something like that. And looking back on it, we were probably ignorant is the right word, ignorant enough that we didn't know how challenging it really was.
How about innocent or uninformed?
Those are appropriate. But we were fortunate enough to land a pretty large project, which was the what's currently Brighton Greens project over there on McCourtney Road. And that gave us enough of a boost early on that kind of really got our feet under us. So that was we were fortunate with that. And we've renovated most of those buildings multiple times, some of them since that day.
I know you were quoted in an article in the Union a few weeks ago about loving the buildings that keep on giving because you build them, you go back and remodel them, and maybe another time.
Yep, that's exactly right.
Cool. So what would you say has been the most challenging part of founding and running your own business?
I actually told this to a young man. I say it all the time. The real challenge is keep the money coming in faster than it goes out. And there's lots of issues that are attached to that, but that's the real bottom line. You know, that's the secret to either success or failure.
All right. Well, then let me ask the flip side. What are the things you really enjoy about running a construction company? And you know, add in what are the unpleasant things that you do because that's you have to do them to get them done so you can keep on doing the good stuff.
As I said, the fun part for me is being able to restore old buildings and significant buildings. And the bad side is there really is none. It's just it's really, really fun and rewarding, and you get to work with fun and interesting people. And there's nothing that I could say that's not always positive.
And you love all those building inspectors and all those codes and all that stuff.
They're a part of the territory that comes with it, and you know, we learned early on that it's way easier to get along with those guys and do whatever they want. So yeah, it's but it definitely is a challenge, especially when the codes change regularly.
Yeah, I can imagine. So I have to assume, like most business people, you've had some challenges in times like the Great Recession a few years ago, and I'm sure there's construction booms and busts and all of that. So what's your secret to survival as a small business owner when the economy is volatile? How do you ride through those times?
Yeah, it's a pretty simple formula for me is you save your cash in the good times because the bad times are coming.
Yeah.
Simple as that for me.
So what is it right now? How would you describe the current climate? Is it a good time, boom time?
Well, we're busy, thank goodness, and a lot of our subcontractors and friends are busy, and I think that's partly because a lot of people are discovering our amazing little town, and a lot of people are coming here and wanting to invest in our town. I hear that that other places are not quite so fortunate, and it is very cyclical. A lot of it is driven by the cost of money, which is up, and so that's part of the challenge and part of the fun is always trying to stay ahead of the changes.
Yep. Well, this show is about civic engagement, and so we talk a lot with people who are involved in nonprofits and involved in government and all that sort of thing. Maybe not so much with business people, which who are very obviously involved in building and the community and making it a vital place to be as well. What advice would you give to young people who might be right there right now thinking about starting their own business? What do they have to do to be successful, in your view?
Boy, you know, one of the things that that we find a lot with, we all experienced it, is you learn the trade, you learn how to do the business and build things, but nowhere in that process do you normally learn how to actually be a businessman and keep track of your money and do all the right things and make sure that you leave happy clients behind you. And my advice would be, if you have it in you, do it if you can, because it really is fun. Thank goodness that that there are a lot of people that are more comfortable being employees, because we all need employees and we all need good employees. And so that's really the way I would sum it up. If somebody has that yearning, go for it.
Go for it.
Yep.
I say businessman or businesswoman, right?
Absolutely.
We can be non-gender specific at this point.
And there are more and more women involved in the construction industry all
there
the time.
Are, yes. Yep. That's great. All right. Well, full disclosure, you're the contractor right now for a very big project that I'm involved with. I'm on the board of In Concert Sierra, and we are funding and building, rebuilding a building you initially built in 1992, I think, on Crown Point Court for Blue Shield. It was their office for a while, a call center, and then you remodeled it into a home for Grass Valley Group, the video tech people. They started downsizing and were ready to sell a building, which we bought last year. Long story short, the snow caved the roof, but that was actually a blessing because it allowed us to remodel it better, and that's the project you're doing right now. Tell me a little bit about that project. You said this is one of your bigger projects, right? It's a 42,000 square foot building, complete remodel. I mean, more than a remodel, it's rebuilding it because some of the roof was off of it. So what's this project mean to you?
Oh my gosh! This is not only the largest project, but I think really compared to a lot of other things that I've mentioned, which were really rewarding. This particular project has the ability to have a very very positive impact on our community, on the entire region, actually for decades. The folks that run In Concert Sierra, as you know, are an amazing group of people, and they have amazing ideas and goals and contacts all over the world, and they are literally bringing world-class classical music to our town. And with them comes their entourage and their other performers and their fans, and all those people are going to come to our town and spend the night or multiple nights and have dinner, and they're just going to have an amazing positive impact on our community. And it's just I call it magical. Not only magical in the fact that last year when the snow caved in part of the roof, it was the actual part of the roof that we were planning on tearing out so we could build a 40-foot-tall concert hall right there. So there's many, many things that have happened on that building since we got involved that are the best way to explain it is magical.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the reasons that those of us involved with In Concert felt we could do this is because we had some real expertise. Ken Harden, our artistic director, has construction background. Monroe Lovelady, our former board president, has extensive construction background, project management. So these two guys are co-project managers. So how are you getting along with them? Are now you got any friction there with those guys that think they know what they're doing?
Those guys are amazing. They just never ceases to amaze me how forward thinking and astute that they are. And you know, one of the things that I just really kind of boggled my mind is they told me not long ago that you know, we're going to have all these really high end performers come, and so we need a really high end green room for these people, which is not one of the things that was on the plans originally. So all of a sudden we're designing and getting ready to start building a place for them to be, these world famous people to be, while they're in our building waiting to perform for us. And it's just an amazing group of people.
Even have a little patio where they can get outside under the trees.
Exactly.
It's going to be cool.
Yep.
I'll bet you love it when they have change orders though all the time, right?
It's challenging, but you know, the fun is to be able to do whatever the client comes up with, and because everything they come up with is improves what we're doing.
It's going to be special.
Yep.
I'm Keith Porter. My guest today is Coney Allen. He's well known in our community as a building contractor. He loves to work on old buildings, and he's remodeling a very important new structure. Well, a structure into something new in our community. He owns Sierra Foothills Construction, and we want to talk a little bit more about his personal life now. So, Coney, I want to come back to some more personal questions. Is there an accomplishment or a role in your life that you're especially pleased of or proud of, pleased with or proud of?
Yeah, and I can say that with my my wife sitting over my shoulder, the most important thing in my life by far is my family. It's being a parent is really, really, everybody's a parent understands this. It's fun and rewarding, and being a grandparent is even better. Go ahead.
Cool. No, I was just going to say, conversely, anything in your life you'd care to say in retrospect you'd do differently if you could do it all over again?
No, I actually can't think of a thing. I've had a pretty magical life, and we got nothing to complain about.
So you got a couple of sons and some grandchildren now. What's your experience as a parent and grandparent? And positive, obviously, from what you've just said. But you know, any challenges there?
There definitely definitely are, but they were all fun, and looking back on it, they were probably easier children than I was for my parents.
Self acknowledgement there. All right. Keone, you were featured in an article in the Union in January where you shared a lot. It was about the project you're working on primarily, but you also shared a lot about your major surgery for removal of a cancerous tumor in your lower back. It's a pretty amazing story, and your experience and recovery are impressive. So how are you doing now? And, you know, what did you learn about life from that whole experience?
You know, bottom line is what I learned is that you do control your own destiny. You know, the doctors are going to tell you from their professional perspective what your situation is and what they think might happen to you. And I think that being liability conscious, they're probably obligated to tell you worst case scenario. And so what I learned really loud and clear was that that what they said to me was not really what was going to happen to me. I was in control of what's going to happen to me, and I'm a living proof that you do get to control how that pans out. And I have a couple of friends who are dealing with cancer right now, and I'm trying to help them understand that, and they are understanding that you know, your body will respond to what you tell it to do, and that's the beauty of it. You don't have to resign yourself to a bad future.
Maybe there's a little magic in there, along with what you were talking about with the building, right?
A lot of magic, Keith.
So when you're not working on your business and your family issues and all that sort of thing, what else do you do in the community that's important to you? And what do you do for an enjoyment? And, you know, what do you do in the community?
So, as you know, we have an awful lot of nonprofits here and people doing good things for lots of different things. And, you know, when you have a small business, there's a pretty steady stream of people approaching you for help. And it's just not realistic to be able to help them all. So quite a few years ago, we finally decided that our focus, we needed to have a focus. And it was really on helping kids and helping hungry people. We're currently involved with the Go Country Senior Citizens. We're helping them build out their commercial kitchen over on the Colfax, Colfax Avenue.
The former Summertime building. Yeah,
exactly. Yep. And, you know, they're sending out, I don't know, 300 or 400 meals a day to local seniors who need help. And that's just really rewarding, helping them.
So what's your favorite part of living in Nevada County now that you've been here for these many years and participated in so many things? What's your favorite part?
So I think actually there's three answers to that. The climate is obviously appealing to most everyone, and hand in hand with that is the beauty of our little hometown here. But really, maybe in addition to or overriding that is the people that our climate and beauty attract. Our town is full of amazing people, and that's what's really most fun for me.
Well, why do you think that's the case? What is it about this community that attracts this kind of cadre? I mean, there are people here who could be successful anywhere, maybe make more money somewhere else or whatever, and they're here because they choose to be. Why do you think that's the case? I'd include you in that, by the way.
Yeah, well, and I've said to myself and Peg more than once that if we chose to live in the Bay Area, I'm pretty sure that we could probably make more money, but wouldn't have near the quality of life that we have here. And I would expect that that's probably the bottom line with most people that are here. It's the climate and the beauty that attracts people, but I think that once people come here and realize that this is a town full of really amazing, fun, dedicated, and just bottom line amazing people, that's what attracts people and makes them want to stay.
So if we were talking about this magic, if there's a genie that's magic and they brought to you one wish to improve the community, what would you say would be the thing that you would be most interested in seeing better about our community?
It's a pretty interesting question, but I actually believe that if I could do that, I would love to see us communicate better about what's in the future best interest. I think most everybody that lives here is interested in improving our community, and I think we all have the same goal in mind. I just think that there's a wide variety of how we're going to get there, and I think that creates more tension than necessary. Be nice if we could figure out how to do that more together.
A lot of folks, when I've asked that question, would say more cost-effective, what do I want to say, reasonably cost housing would be important. As a housing building guy or a guy who could build houses, among other things, what would you say to that? Is that important? Is that possible?
Absolutely. That's holding us back on many levels. I think that companies that would like to come here are hesitant to do that because we don't have housing for their employees. And our kids that grow up and want to stay don't have housing, so that's also a kind of a personal passion of mine, and I have some ideas that I'm pursuing and hopefully can turn out to some positive ways to create more affordable housing.
In 30 seconds or so, can you share anything, but you think there's a prescription for that, something that would really make a difference for us that we all ought to be focused on?
Yeah, we've grown to believe that a house needs to be 2,000 square feet, and it didn't used to be that way. And I think if we can get back to being happy in smaller homes with amazing outdoor space, that's the key.
Amazing outdoor space.
Yep.
That sounds great. What's ahead for you? Any thoughts about retirement?
No. I don't know what I would do on day two. You know, day one I might go fishing, but day two I don't know what I would do. So I love what I'm doing, and I can't imagine not doing it.
Well, congratulations on your time and your success in the community, and on your recovery from the extensive surgery that you had a few years ago. I'm Keith Porter. My guest today has been Keone Allen, well known in our community as a building contractor. Loves to work on old buildings and new stuff too sometimes. Owner of Sierra Foothills Construction, and someone who has refused to be slowed down by cancer surgery and is helping some others to understand how that impacts their life and how to work through it. So Keone, thanks for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Keith. I appreciate it also.